Dudes and dudettes, Major League Butt Kicking is back in town. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Midwesterners Podcast, an episode where we're going to keep it chill, but we're also going to inform you on a lot of stuff. I am your host, Brian Stoffel, joined, as always, by my co-host,
K.O. Kyle Olson.
We are the Midwesterners. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds Podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can stream our show wherever you stream a podcast. This week, we are going to catch you guys up on what we were doing last week. As you have noticed, you missed us last week. We missed you. You missed us. But we're back. We're bigger. We're better. We'll see. We're back. Kyle, why don't you inform the audience on why we missed last week?
Yes, totally my fault. How did I word it when I text you? I was lucky enough to happen upon free tickets for two Brewer games in a row, and it just so happened to be Tuesday and Wednesday, the two nights that me and Brian have set aside to record. So it was kind of like unfortunate, but also fortunate. You know, I got to go on a cool trip with some work people and then some friends the next night to two Brewer games. One where we walked it off in the 11th inning, which was super cool. And then one where we lost 2-1, but we made it a game in the ninth. You know, we almost walked it off two nights in a row. So overall, two really good games. Plus, me and Brian kind of got to take, with a double recording 2 weeks ago and taking last week off, we got a nice, you know, recharge break, coming back refreshed this week. So, overall, I think a blessing in disguise, a really fun week for me.
Yeah, because we missed last week, because Kyle went to the Brewer games, I rubbed it in his face, and as punishment, I said that he's got to know that I'm going to be going to the Brewers-Cubs game on Friday today. The day that this episode drops, in box seats for work. I complain a lot about work outside of work, but there's some good. There's some diamonds that come in the rough, and this was a diamond that I'm pretty excited for. I'm looking forward to in my downtime outside of recording, which we didn't do the past couple weeks. Caught up on a lot of TV, caught up on a lot of movies. Went to and experienced the Rockzilla. That would be the tour of Papa Roach, Falling in Reverse, Hollywood Undead, and Bad Wolves. It was a pretty good time. It was a concert that wasn't full, like, it wasn't high up on my anticipation list, but I had a good time nonetheless. We went, my girlfriend and I, we went with her niece and her niece's boyfriend. It was their first concert. They didn't want to go alone. We're concert veterans. We've been to a very, very many concerts, so we tagged along. Bad Wolves was interesting. I've seen them before with their old singer, who was kind of like the heart and soul of that band, and seeing them with a new singer trying to do like the old songs that felt very personal to the old singer was a little weird. But they were like the opener, so it was like whatever. Hollywood Undead was the band that I think I was the least excited for, just because like I had one of their albums on my iPod Touch back in the day, but I wasn't like a huge Hollywood Undead fan. Not to bury the lead, but they were my favorite of the night. They put on a freaking fun, awesome show. They brought their roadie on that looked like he'd been a roadie for like 40 years, and they brought him on stage for one song to sing and play the tambourine. And while he was doing that, they were having him chug beers the whole time. That's the kind of show that they put on. It was a great time.
I expect nothing less from Hollywood Undead. That sounds like a phenomenal time.
It was awesome, and
a lot of bands are like, oh, Wisconsin, we love being here, or Green Bay, you're one of our favorites. And it's like, yeah, uh-huh, you probably say that at every show. This was a band that, like, they pulled out Wisconsin, like, references of, like, if you had, like, it's stuff that you have to know if you've been here a lot.
Yes.
Like, they name drop, like, a Schwabenon and, like, a couple other of our
hell yeah.
of our weirdly named towns that people can't pronounce. And when they were like, this is a show that we always enjoy coming to in Wisconsin because you guys are freaking crazy and you know how to party and you're big drinkers like us. It's like, yeah, it sounds genuine when it comes out of their mouths.
I have one question about the Hollywood Undead. Did you get to hear Everywhere I Go?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. That is, it's one of my go-to, like, it just gets me, it's so funny, but it's such a good, yeah, great song.
No, it was a great show. Falling in Reverse was the main band that my girlfriend's niece and her boyfriend were there to hear. They're good. I mean, I like Falling in Reverse. They're not my favorite band. They're not like a band that I hate. They put on a good show for what it was. Papa Roach was good. I'm kind of middle of the road with Papa Roach too. I like a lot of their stuff. Some of their stuff I don't quite like. They put on a great show. The lead singer came out during one of the songs and was walking through the crowds and literally walked right past us, stepped on the niece's boyfriend's foot and like looked at him like, oh shit, I'm sorry. I caught that on a Snapchat and sent that out. So I wanted to like be like, oh, hey, and pat him on the back. But that dude was so sweaty. I was like, nope, I'm just glad that I am like poking distance away from you. So they put on a great show. 6,000 people were at that show.
Oh wow.
At Green Bay's, and it was at Green Bay's baseball diamond, which I didn't know that Green Bay had a baseball team.
Is that the Rockers?
Yes.
I'll tell you after the podcast why I know that. I can't really say it on the podcast.
I was gonna say, which A, I didn't know that Green Bay had a baseball team, and B, I was like, the Rockers?
Yep.
And so, C, how weird that it was like a hard rock heavy metal show at the Rocker Stadium.
I definitely that's cool because I know the stadium. I again can't say why I've been there or how I know this, because of work is what I'll say. Some people may be able to put that together, but I'll tell you after the podcast how and why I know that. And I've been to the stadium, so like I can only imagine where the hell. Wait, where were they? Were they out in the outfield?
They were out in the outfield.
Oh, and then they had. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
They had everybody standing out on the field, and then VIP was, like, up in the stands.
Yeah, because it's not that huge, huge stand section, but that's dope. Well, that's super cool.
They had VIP, and then they had VIVIP, which was, like half the field was gated off, and that was, like, the quote-unquote VIP.
Sure.
And then, like, they had tickets in the stands, but we were general admission, but we were as close as we could get general admission.
That's super cool.
And let me tell you, it was a long show.
I can imagine.
Gates opened at 3:30, so we were in line at 3 o'clock. That show went till like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And so because we had such great spots too, we didn't move. So it was like 7-8 hours of just standing.
Ooh.
it was a long one. Sunday night too. So I ended up calling into work and
good man.
When I called into work, I totally forgot that I have my boss on Snapchat and he saw my story and he's like, oh, rock out a little too hard last night.
Hey, at least it's that. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. So that's just a little bit of what we've been doing in our time off. Another thing that we did in our time off was we caught the season premiere of She-Hulk. Attorney at Law. We're not going to jump into full spoilers, full details. We're going to save that for next week when we have two episodes to talk about. But for this week, Kyle, what were your general thoughts on episode one? Anything that you want to say? Keep it detail light so that we have some meat on the bones of next week's episode.
I'll even keep this spoiler free. How about that? Phenomenal. Like not the best first episode we've seen from a Marvel series, not the best episode, whatever, like, but like a great introduction. I've heard some plans about how this series was supposed to shape out, but the way that they kind of constructed this first episode as an origin story, it was perfect. And the way that they subtly put in some things before and after the origin story, just it was fun. It was informative on what we're about to see in the rest of the series. I can't wait for next week for us to dive into this, because especially, I mean, I can't wait for, we're recording this on Wednesday, I can't wait for tomorrow when I can watch episode 2. I'm so into this and just the possibilities of this series. It's just so much fun already. And I would like to just throw it out there for all the people out there who have a problem with this first episode, seem to also be the same people who may or may not have had a problem with Falcon and Winter Soldier. And to those people, I say, open up your mind a little bit, people. Come on, just because it's not a white man as the lead doesn't mean it's not a good show. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
I'm to the point where I tune those people out.
I agree. Like, it's it's these two shows that have been the loudest.
Yes, there's a podcast that I listen to. It's like a daily, like, entertainment show, and they talk a lot about, like, the negativity of fandom in today's day and age. And one of the things that the host of the show says that I've been at fault at, but I like his thought behind it of, like, if you like something, great, let's celebrate it, let's talk about it. If you don't like something, great, talk about it, but that's it. Like, yeah, just say why you don't like it and move on. Like, we don't need, like, 10 episodes talking about how we hate this one show and deep dive into the reasons we hate it. If you don't like it, say why you don't like it and move on.
And stop watching it.
Or you could even take the Kevin Smith approach of not talking about the things that you don't like. Because what's the point of spreading the negativity? If you don't like it, you don't like it. Like, yes, celebrate the things that you like. And like I said, I've been at fault of that. I was a little bit with Obi-Wan. I'll admit. I got a
me
little
and Josh
salty.
Ripped you. Me and Josh ripped you a new one on that too.
Yeah, and then I also edited that episode. And if our listeners should know because they listened to it, but I don't know if my co-host listened to the episode or not. I snuck in a little bit of stuff in there because I didn't feel like I fully got enough chance to defend myself and my thoughts. So
post-production defending.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I'll admit I was a little salty with that, but I didn't overall hate that show. I was like middle of the road with it. I celebrated and praised the things that I mm-hmm. liked about it, talked about the things I didn't like about it. And this is the first time that we're bringing it up since that show dropped in May, June.
That's
I don't
the
know.
Thing. If you don't like something, just, oh, well, it's in the past. You didn't like it.
But to go on liking things, I did like She-Hulk episode 1. I liked it a lot. I liked that we got that origin story right away. We'll go into more of next week of how that almost didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it didn't go that way.
Yep.
I'm glad that they gave it to us right out front in the open. Love the development that we've got of Jennifer Walters already. And this isn't really a spoiler because it was basically all of the trailers and the commercials was this first episode. We get a lot of Hulk, regular Hulk, AKA in this episode, Smart Hulk in this episode. I like the developments that we're adding to his character, and I like the mystery of what's to come with this character. This could have easily been a passing of the torch episode of, all right, like, I've done my fair share in three phases already. I brought everybody back. I was a big hero of Infinity War and Endgame. Like, I'm going to walk off into the sunset now that the world has another Hulk. That's not the case. This is very much of, hey, we could do this, we could do that. What's this over here with Bruce Banner? That I liked all of those little nods, those little pointers of possibilities for that future. Yeah, overall, I had a great time with it. We're going to deep dive more into episode 1 and episode 2 next week. Unless something bigger comes up that we feel like we need to talk about. But so far, a plan for next week, episodes 1 and 2 of She-Hulk, Needless to say, though, that's not the end of this episode. As you've noticed within the past how many weeks, how many episodes, we've got a favorite segment on this show that we've been neglecting a little bit. That would be the best stuff recommendations. Since we've been keeping that goodness from you for so long, we're going to take the majority of this episode today to discuss some of our best stuffs, some of the things that we've loved as far as movies, TV show, entertainment, comics, music, anything and everything. We're going to talk about that today. We're gonna give you guys the rundown of what we think you guys should check out. Because like we said earlier, positivity, we're all about it this episode. And we're keeping it chill. We're keeping it laid back. Kyle, what are some things that you've been entertaining yourself with the past couple weeks other than the Brewer game?
So we're going to start with a movie that I wanted to watch in the theaters, never got around to for multiple reasons, but I finally got around to watching Sonic 2.
Yes!
Oh my God. Okay, so a little backstory. Me and my buddy Zach, who I think has been on the podcast before, we watched Sonic on Valentine's Day in 2019, which is hilarious, or 2020, I should say, because it's hilarious because he has a girlfriend, but apparently she had other plans or something that day, so it was really funny that we ended up hanging out on Valentine's Day anyway, but we were one of the few people who actually went on Valentine's Day. It was like two other people in the theater. And
I went on Valentine's Day.
Hell yeah, good.
I was there with all the families bringing their children in before the babysitters come to watch them while the parents go off and get that cookie or go out on some hot date. It was funny. I saw that movie was coming out on Valentine's Day, and I looked at my girlfriend, and I said, I know it's Valentine's Day. We're going opening day. And I said, that'll be my part of the date. That'll be like what you do for me. So what I'll do for you is we'll go and get sushi, because perfect. I'm not a sushi fan. I don't really care for it. Nope. Some of it's okay, but for the most part, I'm not a sushi fan. My girlfriend loves sushi, and she hates the fact that like I don't like it, because then she doesn't get it very often because we usually eat together and go get food together, and we're not the couple that's like, all right, you go get your thing, I'll get my thing, and we'll sit down and eat together. We don't do that a whole lot. So I was like, we'll start the date, we'll go get sushi at the restaurant, we'll do our sushi. That'll be your treat. And then my treat is going to see one of the things that fully kick me in the butt into my nerdy fandom from age 4, the kickstart of it all, seeing it live action, something that I never thought that I'd get to see, because for the longest time it was the movie that tried so hard to get on screen but just couldn't. And so I was like, this could be awful, but I'm still going to love it.
Yep. And it was phenomenal. And we left the theater just in praise of it, just super happy that it was happening. And then 3 weeks later, the world shut down.
Yep.
It was the last movie I saw in theaters until, I think, In the Heights in 2021, I think, was the next movie that I saw.
It was a Warner Brothers movie. I don't remember what was my first one back in the theater, but Sonic was my last one. Yep. In the theater as well.
I think most people, because it came out mid-February. Yep. Probably. So a month later, the world shut down. But so there was always this running joke with me and Zach that we needed to watch the next Sonic movie together when Sonic 2 comes out, but at what cost? You know, like we were both joking that there was another pandemic that was going to start. But we finally got around to watching it the other week. And I mean, talk about living up to the hype. This movie was so good. I mean, Idris Elba as Knuckles could not have been more perfect. He was both serious and menacing in the beginning and the middle parts of the movie, and then he was funny and comic relief towards the end. Like, he was great as Knuckles. Tails was such a good addition. The story worked in with itself. The story was both silly but also made sense in the Sonic world. Like, if you're a Sonic fan, you understand what's going on, but also as a movie fan, you can sit back and they make fun of the story as they're going through the story. So it's like perfect. Like, it's so well written. Ben Schwartz is amazing as Sonic. I love him so much. Jim Carrey. I mean, if this is actually Jim Carrey's last role in cinema, phenomenal. The last thing that he... What was the last thing he said? Oh,
it was something like, smell you later, yeah! Or something like that.
Later haters. That's what
yep,
it was.
Later haters. Yep.
If that's his last line ever in a movie, yes. Please, I'm here for it. That's hilarious. Just such a fun movie, such a good time. It's there for the Sonic fans, but if you had no idea about Sonic and you only saw the first Sonic movie and you went back for the second one, this delivered. It was just, it had a weird subplot that took a lot of the middle of the movie, but I was into it, you know, like,
I loved it too.
And then once it was done, it was like, oh yeah, this is a Sonic movie. Like, but it wasn't even in a bad way. Like I enjoyed every minute of it. It was everything that I wanted it to be.
Even the Alvin and the Chipmunks road trip type scene of the weird Uptown Funk dance up in the Himalayas.
Oh,
like,
dude, because me and Zach both looked at each other like, are they really dancing to Uptown Funk? Like, this joke is 10 years old, but at the same time it landed. Like, I don't understand how they can do that. It was so funny. So good. Oh, yeah. Absolutely enjoyed that. If you have not seen this movie, if you haven't seen either of the Sonic movies, you need to go see both of them. They're just delightful. But especially if you haven't seen the second one yet, it's on Paramount Plus. You could do a 7-week free trial if you don't have it. Go watch the movie. It's just delightful.
I can understand the argument of the people that say that the first one is a better movie, but I love the second one so much more than the first one because there are things that happen in the second movie where if you are a Sonic the Hedgehog fan mm-hmm. and a fan of the video games, like, call it fan service all you want, I'll take it because I was for every single moment of it. I will be very sad if Jim Carrey doesn't come back for Robotnik. I mean, they could have, the way that the movie ends, he doesn't have to come back, but I would like a better bow on that character. He talked about in interviews as the movie was coming out, along with the, hey, I think this is my last movie. He also said, I would come back if they would let me be Fat Robotnik, because he wanted to do that for the second one. Oh. They have the little Easter egg in the movie.
They do.
If they let him come back in a fat suit to wrap up that character, I would love it so much. I almost feel like he would have to come back. And I get it if Jim Carrey doesn't want to, but I think it's going to be really hard to write that story for the third movie if he doesn't come back. Because I don't want to get too spoilery. There's a post-credit scene where a certain something pops up.
Was it even post-credit or was it...
Post-credit, mid-credit.
Mid-credit.
A scene during or after the credits. Yes. Where a certain something shows up
that is clearly
going to be in the third movie. I feel like before we get him, even if it's like a first act or like the first 10-15 minutes of the movie, I feel like we need Metal Sonic before we get that other person, that other thing.
And
you can't really have Metal Sonic without Robotnik, the creator, being in there.
That's true, so, actually. They could retcon it and say maybe he's already been working on it or something. I would love to see Fat Robot.
What's his name? His assistant dude.
Yeah.
Like if he found the plans or found like a one of Robotnik's warehouses and found like the Metal Sonic project and finished
Stone?
It or activated it.
Yeah, but there's so many other Sonic. I think, I don't know how many movies they're going to do. Maybe they're going to stop after three. If they are, there's so many characters I want to see live action. I mean, Big the Cat. If I need to see Big the Cat on on the big screen, like right now, it would be amazing.
Is he a spirit animal?
Who's the other one that people were calling for? Hold on. Let me look it up quick so I don't get the name wrong.
There's, like you said, there's lots I could name. I could probably.
So for a lot of people who, my age and maybe a little around your age as well, there's a certain aspect of a Sonic character that maybe helped them mature while watching the show. Rogue the Bat, I think, is one that a lot of people would love to see on the big screen.
I think you need to get Amy in there, too.
Yes, Amy, for sure.
You need a female animal character in there. I think Amy goes without saying. yep. Yeah, Sonic 2. I don't quite know what my top 10 movies of the year is, but Sonic 2 is definitely in the top five.
Yeah.
Again, is it the best movie of the year? Probably not. But is it one of my favorites? Absolutely.
Yep, I absolutely have to agree with that. And that's how I judge my movies anyway. So I'm not a huge cinephile, whatever. I also love how we, for spoiler purposes, didn't mention who was in that final scene, but we also just named about 10 other Sonic characters. So there's probably
right
an elimination process.
My argument will be, if you're a Sonic fan, you've probably already seen this movie.
That's absolutely fair.
Or if you're a true Sonic fan, after all the characters that we named, if you don't guess who showed up in that post-credit scene, after that, you're not a true Sonic fan.
Yeah, agreed.
I saw a few movies myself. One movie that it's interesting because I feel like I'm always on the opposite spectrum when it comes to this person's movies, where his first movie everybody loves, and that movie didn't really work for me. And this now third movie that's out, there are a lot of people who didn't quite like it, didn't really care for it, but I loved it. And I texted you after I saw the movie, and that would be Nope.
Oh, I was on a completely different track there.
Jordan Peele's Nope. Get Out, like I said, didn't fully work for me. A lot of people love it. I'm not one of those people. Us had a pretty strong start, pretty forgettable ending. Don't remember a whole lot of that movie. But Nope really worked for me. I loved the tension that we had in this movie. I liked the story that we had. It was visually gorgeous. There's a lot of themes and elements in this movie that make you really sit down and think about what's going on. There are a lot of theories that could be correct that the movie hints at but doesn't fully answer, which I feel like is a Jordan Peele type thing in his movies. This movie completely worked for me. It's, again, one of my favorite movies of the year so far. Almost everything worked for me in this movie. Even the things that, like, when the movie ended that I was questioning, this doesn't happen a lot, which is weird to say. But my girlfriend and I, we go to a lot of movies. And usually after the movie is done, it was like, oh, what'd you think? And we'll have, like, maybe a 5-minute conversation, maybe. And then that's it. This movie, we probably had like a 20-30 minute conversation afterwards of like, because I had questions after it. I was like, what the heck was going on in this scene? Like, why was this relevant to the movie? Like, what was the whole point of that? And just like talking things out with her. It was, like I said, it was like a 20-30 minute conversation. And after that, it was like, oh, yeah, I can get that. I can pick that up. I'm excited to re-see it. I don't know if I'll make it to the movies again to see it, to the movie theater again to see it. But if you, we're kind of in like a slum right now for new releases. There's not a whole lot coming out until October. This movie will probably stay in the theaters longer because of that. If you're bored on a weeknight, weekend, whatever, and you're like, I'm in the mood to go to a movie, and you haven't seen this one yet, I can recommend this movie as a fun theater experience.
I was going to interrupt you several times because I did not want you to spoil anything, which you did a great job of. I wasn't worried that you were going to. I was just kind of like very on the edge of, because I haven't seen it yet and I very much want to. I am one of those people who Get Out was perfect. It was one of my favorite movies when it came out. It was awesome. I saw it about 3 times. I never... even though after that hype and the hype for the next movie, I never saw Us. I still want to. I plan on it. Just never got around to it for so many reasons. But Nope is another one that I really just... I want to get around to. And I've seen a couple interviews. Thankfully, nothing has really been spoiled other than things that I already assumed based on trailer footage. So I'm very eager to get out and see it, is all I'll say, I guess.
What else you got on your list, Kyle? Let's just bounce back and forth.
Absolutely. So next on my list is a series. I won't call it a TV series because it came out on a streaming service. I have been in the middle of my Marvel rewatch lately, and I'm towards the, I believe, phase five. Yeah, I'm in phase five right now, where I just got to, for the first time, surprisingly, rewatch Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I, for some reason, have only seen the once when it came out. I was very excited to dive back into this because I remember enjoying it so much and just how many moments I loved. And on the rewatch, I love it even more. The show is so good. Like, it's so, especially, I think it's at the end of episode three, where John Walker finally breaks. That's all I'll say. I won't, probably spoilers aren't really too big on that. And I know this is technically last year, but I'm talking about it today because I've rewatched it, and it's just,
dude, that was a big moment.
It was like, such a big moment.
Even if you didn't watch the show, I think you heard about it,
dude. And like, I feel like I bring it up almost every time we talk about Marvel, because it's, I always reference it as the second biggest jaw-dropping moment in Marvel, in the MCU, for me personally. Like, obviously the end of Infinity War was the biggest. I, going into that movie, I had no idea what to expect, and the way that it ended, I was just in complete disbelief. This was the same way. I wish Zach would have took a picture of me or a video of me, because I swear my mouth was just open, jaw on the floor for 5 minutes after this happened at the end of episode three of this series. It was just phenomenal. Because the story worked into it. The story after it was brilliant. But the rest of the show, like, the story going into it, and people can ignore all the story points that they want. Like I mentioned earlier, I won't go into that. We're all about the positivity today. It's just so good, because I was one of those people after Endgame who wanted to see Bucky with the shield, but that's not the story they wanted to tell. And this was the story that they wanted to tell, and they were right. I will fully admit that I'm wrong on that, because this was such a good story that they were able to tell. Bucky had his own shit to go through. He wasn't ready for the shield either. He needed this just as much as Sam did, to go through this process of Cap trusting someone else, because Cap trusted him so much that he questioned everything when he thought Cap was wrong. Like, there was just so much good that came out of this, and I absolutely cannot wait for Captain America New World Order, because I think there's just going to be so much follow-up to this. I don't know how much we're going to see Bucky or if he's even going to be in it. I would assume he is, but yeah, I think there was shit, and everything with Dora Milaje and Zemo, there's so much setup to the Thunderbolts coming up, which at the time was only speculation. Now we actually have confirmation of the movie. So, like, going back, that's why I love going back and rewatching every once in a while, is because with every new development, going back and watching all these old projects just leads into more speculation and more, you know, like, oh my God, this is why they did this, because they were doing this at the time. Like, there's just, there's so much fun with Marvel. It's just a never-ending well of, oh my God, this is about to happen. So I definitely recommend, if you've never seen this show, the hell are you doing? Go and watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's so good. But yeah, if you only saw it the one time, I recommend a rewatch. I really do. It's such a phenomenal show.
We can only go off of speculation and, like, quick shots that we've seen in the trailer. But my question for you, if there is a funeral scene in Wakanda Forever, do you think we see Bucky there?
Oh my God.
Because of how much he's tied into Wakanda, and who else would you expect to see there from the MCU?
So
it'd be a little weird if he wasn't there, right?
Yes and no. Man, that's tough. Because it's different, right? It's way, obviously, extremely different than Tony Stark. Extremely different, right? I've seen some people compare the two on Twitter, and God, it was not good. It would almost be weird to include other Avengers. I get the Bucky. I absolutely, like, I'm contemplating right now in my head, whether or not Bucky should be there. Because, like, this is a Wakanda thing. This is, we see Shuri, we see the Dora Milaje, we see the dancing in front of the Panther statues, Bast, and I can't remember the other one now. But, like, this is very much a Wakanda thing. It almost feels strange for them to put Avengers or anyone else, any other superhero from any other project, into this. But at the same time, like you said, Bucky is so ingrained in Wakandan.
And I've only watched the series the once, so I'll ask the fresh eyes on it. Where Bucky leaves off with the Dora Milaje, has he kind of like... Is he in a bad spot where maybe he wouldn't be there and that would be the reason why? Because of how things are left off between the two?
You know what? Now that you say that, that'd be a great way to explain it off, to not have him there. Because as far as I can remember, they're only really in... They're at the end of the one episode and then they're at the beginning, kind of throughout that one episode where they're hunting Zemo. They're mad at him for breaking Zemo out of prison. So... Zemo's pretty free after the show, so it's like...
Yeah. I mean, doesn't he go back to prison?
Oh, yeah, no, wait.
Didn't I do that in air quotes?
Right. They do actually... No, actually, you know what? Maybe he is in the good graces now. You're reminding me of scenes. God, my attention span is terrible. yes, no, so he approaches Zemo, and he, you know, puts a gun to his face, but then he pulls the trigger, and it's empty, and all the bullets fall out of his other hand. And then that's when the Dora Milaje take him to the raft. Oh, so yeah. I would assume, yes, he then made good on his promise to bring Zemo back to the Dora Milaje. So that I don't understand. Again, this is just me. This is Marvel telling their own story. The Dora Milaje in Wakanda always wanted Zemo to pay for his crimes in Wakanda. So then they're like, we're going to bring him to the raft. Since when are the Dora Milaje working with Thunderbolt Ross? That was a weird thing with me.
Because we need... Zemo to be the leader of the Thunderbolts,
exactly.
Or at least in the Thunderbolts team.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So that was a weird realization for me. But as far as Bucky and Wakanda Forever, yeah, as just a cool cameo, maybe just even in the background. Don't make, please, God, dear God, do not make any of these people in this funeral scene a focal point.
Right.
People will tear that apart if you just throw. Even a stand-in Bucky, but I'm sure you can get Sebastian Stan to do this. Just throw him in the background as he's there. I think that would be awesome.
I don't think it would be an eyesore if it was like a quick, like, 2-second, like, cameras on him.
Yeah,
like,
that's, yes,
in the crowd.
I agree.
I think he would... I would agree. I would hope that he would be there. And if he is there, the only other Avenger person that I would want to see there... is Old Man Steve.
Yes, because that's a huge... So, along with all my Marvel rewatches, I'm also watching old YouTube clips of people reacting to these in real time, just to kind of get a feel of how these were all coming out at the time. And that was a big question after Falcon and Winter Soldier, is Old Cap still alive? Is Old Steve still alive? I guess, even after She-Hulk, there's still the question of some phrasing in some conversations. Again, we won't spoil anything this week. There is still a chance that he's still alive in this. Even though Falcon and Winter Soldier opens up with what we thought, Sam dressing up for a funeral, they never actually show a funeral or anything along those lines. So Old Cap could still be alive. He could be on the moon, as a lot of people are as the conspiracy theorists in the MCU think. Like, he could be up there with Nick Fury. Who knows? That would be a cool one. But I was thinking about that. That was like the first name that popped up in my head when you asked this, because I don't think that would be the reveal that they would want it to be as far as Steve is still alive. I think they want to save that reveal for an actual, like, he's part of a story type of show or movie, whatever they're saving it for. I don't think they would want to just throw it in here and be like, oh, look, he's still alive and he's at T'Challa's, you know.
That's fair.
I think Bucky would be the only one, in my opinion. Everett Ross would be the other guy from the U.S. government. But other than that...
Ross, though, that actor died not too long ago, so...
Not Thunderbolt. The other one who's actually in...
Oh!
The Hobbit.
Yeah, the Hobbit dude, yeah.
Yeah, both named Ross. I know what you...
I got confused there.
Yeah. No, Everett, I think was his name.
Yeah, I either think way. So. Yeah, I know he's in the movie, so I could see him being there.
Right. But again, so. I think I would love if they just make the funeral about Wakanda, you know, and just that main cast. I'd be perfectly fine with that. I'll have no problem with the movie if Bucky isn't there, because I'm sure they can do something with it later where he pays respects in his own way.
From MCU to regular old MC, meaning Marvel Comics.
Ooh.
My next best stuff is going to be something that I best staffed a while ago, but it's so good that I got to best staff it again now that it's a little bit farther on. Punisher. The Punisher series that's going on right now, it's 5 issues in, and I don't feel like it's a loaded statement to say that it might be one of my favorite Punisher runs ever. It is so good. I know a lot of people like were butthurt and threw a fit when they saw the new Punisher logo that was going to show up in the series before they even knew what the series was about. They're like, why does this skull have horns on it? Like, what are, and giant teeth? What are they doing? We want our classic Punisher skull. It fits with the story because Punisher is now the leader of the Hand. If that sounds familiar, the Hand were the ninja assassins that showed up in Daredevil, in the Netflix Daredevil series. The Punisher's now leading them in trying to end his war on crime. Right now, they are facing off against Ares, the god of war, and his soldiers that are shepherding heavy-duty artillery and weaponry into the world. The way that they get Punisher to lead the Hand was the first, like, shock that happens in issue 1. 5 issues later, I'm like, holy cow, where is this book going? In a good way. Not like, oh, what the hell is happening? Where? No, I mean like, holy crap, this keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The artwork is absolutely gorgeous. Every panel is like a painted panel. There's a backstory that goes into Frank Castle's childhood and how the Hand is trying to like twist and manipulate him to doing what they want to do by touching into like his past and his childhood, which fits the character, fleshes out that backstory and makes it that much more interesting. My final sell for this book, if you loved the Thor, the God Butcher saga by Jason Aaron, you're probably going to love this series too because it's by the same writer. Jason Aaron is the one that's writing this series. It is phenomenal. Punisher leading ninja assassins facing off against the God of War, who's pissed at Frank Castle right now because he doesn't feel like he's living up to his true potential. He feels like he's worshiping a false god, being the beast that the Hand worships, when Ares feels that Punisher always worshipped him, being the god of war. And the next issue, issue 6, Frank Castle storms Ares' fortress alone, without the Hand. And it's Frank Castle versus Ares was the setup for issue 6 that comes out in a couple weeks. I am beyond excited for it. This is easily my favorite series that I'm reading right now. I read like, I think I'm reading like 12 different monthly series right now, and it's easily at the top of the list. I'm weird in the sense where I've got my stack because I'm always behind because I'm reading so many titles, and I'm trying to read my library of books that I have here at home too besides that. So I'm always behind, but I always put it at the bottom because I want to save the best for last. I want to get the junk, my least excited titles, I want to get out of the way first. So that's always at the end. So I had issues like 2 to 5 to read all in a row, and I couldn't stop. Like, I read it all in one sitting. It was just so good. I can't praise this series enough. Punisher right now. Go check it out. Your local comic book stores should have issues 1 through 5 yet in their catalog. So go out and get it. If not, I'm sure the first trade paperback will come out soon because there's enough issues for one out at this point. But go run out to your comic book store and check out Punisher, the current Punisher run. I just spewed about it for 10 minutes. It's good.
I genuinely wish I had a better attention span to get more into comics. it's hard for me to sit down and read.
The artwork alone would catch you.
Oh, I absolutely.
I think I even sent you like a couple snaps as I was reading it, being like, holy shit.
I'm sure you did.
Like Punisher leading the hand against Hydra was an epic splash page.
If that's not a what if series, Jesus Christ.
It's so good.
That's another one. What if? Go back and rewatch What If. That's such a fun rewatch. Let's see here. Oh, one of my new shows that I'm watching. I wanted to throw this one out there because I'm very early. I'm only like 3 or 4 episodes into this show, but it's only 2 seasons. So like I'm pretty into it already. One Punch Man. I absolutely love this show. So it's an anime that's making fun of other animes, but you don't have to have watched animes to get the humor or to enjoy the show. This show so the premise is this guy is a hero for fun. That's his backstory. Unlike all these other anime heroes or villains who have a 5-minute long backstory, this guy is just, he just wants to be a good guy. So he trained for 5 years and now he's the strongest man alive and he wins all of his battles with one punch. It is the funniest. Just all these villains go on for 2 minutes on this backstory and why they're the best and why they're so much better than him. And then he legitimately kills them in one punch. It's graphic. It's hilarious. It's dramatic somehow, even with a guy who wins in one punch. And like I said, I'm only 4 episodes in, but I'm absolutely hooked. This show is so good. And like I said, you don't have to be an anime fan to watch this. I've only seen one other anime. Well, 2, I guess, if you count Dragon Ball Z Abridged on YouTube. But like even if you understand anime tropes, you will understand the humor on this. And it's a quick watch. Like I said, it's on Netflix and Hulu. Netflix has the subbed version. Hulu has both subbed and dubbed. I watch dubbed because I'm a simpleton who can't watch and read at the same time. But watch it, and it's only two seasons. I think 12 episodes, 20 minutes each. It's a very quick watch. So much fun. It is graphic, I will say. Like I said, both in violence and in nudity. in some points, I wouldn't say too graphic in nudity, but there are some. I wouldn't necessarily watch it in public.
To keep on the graphic on Hulu train.
Yeah.
If it bleeds, we can kill it. Prey! The new Predator movie dropped on Hulu. Should have been in theaters because, oh my gosh, this is a gorgeous and awesome movie. There are some crazy people out there that are saying that it's the best movie in the franchise. Uh-uh. You're not touching Arnold with a 10-foot pole. I'm sorry. Yell at me because it's the guilty pleasure. Maybe, but overall, that's an awesome movie. Nothing's going to touch Arnold. But I will say this. This is the next best Predator movie. This goes back to the 1700s and follows a Comanche tribe that is trying to hunt off this thing that's attacking their village, their tribe, and then they just happen to find a Predator. It is awesome. There are 2 versions of this movie on Hulu. There's the regular English version, and there's a Comanche dubbed version of this movie where you can watch this movie in the original Native American language. It's awesome. The action is great. The tension is good. The character development is awesome. This girl that's trying to prove that she can be a hunter in her tribe and not just some girl that, you know, gets all the crops and tends to the men. She's trying to prove herself. It's an awesome movie. I had a blast with this movie. Again, one of my favorite movies of the year. Prey. If you haven't seen it, it's on Hulu. We've all got Hulu if we did the Disney Plus bundle. So use that subscription to Hulu and go watch Prey. You're not going to regret it. And It's only like an hour and a half long. It's not a big time commitment. It's not a 2 hour plus movie. You're going to sit down, you're going to have a good time, and it's going to be quick, and you're going to, then you can go on with the rest of your night, rest of your day. But at the same time, you won't regret seeing this movie. Pray. Definitely check it out.
You're killing it. That I've seen that every time I load up Hulu, I see it on there and I'm like, all right.
Do it. Pull the trigger. Do it.
I'm going to have to.
Tell me I'm here.
All right. I'm going to have to do it after that Arnold impersonation. My next one, another throwback, but it's relevant because of some recent news. For anyone who loves Dan Harmon, you need to watch Community. I'm sure you have already, but you need to rewatch it because now confirmed, the running joke in the series is six seasons and a movie. We have six seasons, and it is now confirmed that we are getting a Community movie. And I cannot wait for just the absolute ridiculousness that we're going to get. We're probably going to get Troy returning from his voyage at sea. We're probably going to get Pierce returning from the grave after faking his death, I'm assuming, if I had to guess. I absolutely cannot wait to see what this group of people at a community college have been doing for the past, I don't know how many years they're going to say has passed in TV time, but I cannot wait for whatever this movie is going to be. The cast is phenomenal. Dan Harmon is phenomenal. Yes, Community is just such a great show to watch. It's such an easy watch. You can skip over, I think it's season 5, which was when they were on Yahoo, I think, whatever the hell that was. When they were off basic cable for a year. Yeah, just the show is, it's in my top 5 shows because it's just so funny. It's so meta, but it's so good at the same time. Like, it actually draws you in. The characters are developed. If something doesn't make sense, they bring it up in the show. Like, that's my kind of humor too, is that meta humor. Yeah, phenomenal show, and you gotta rewatch it because we're getting a movie soon. I cannot. It's probably gonna be a couple years, but still, I'm hyped for it already.
I was gonna say, I don't want to rain on your parade or burst your bubble. It's been confirmed, but not confirmed. There are a lot of headlines that are saying that it's confirmed, but if you look at what was actually said, it's been said that talks are ongoing right now, and that it's not a question of if, but when.
If they see this internet reaction, it will happen. It will happen. I can guarantee you that. People have been asking for this for years.
That's all I gotta say about it. This is one of those shows I haven't watched yet.
I'm telling you, it's an easy just watch while you're doing something else even, but it's so good. It's such a good show.
I love the cast. I love everybody that's in the cast. I just haven't taken the time to sit down.
You're going
to
love it. Especially the episodes that the Russo brothers direct. That's where they got their start. The Russo brothers directed a few episodes. Not where they got their start. I shouldn't say that. The Russo brothers directed a few episodes of Community. And that is how they got the Marvel job. I will say that. So I believe it's the first paintball episode. That's the first one that they're on. You'll love it.
I've got two left. Both that I've seen over this past weekend. My first one that I want to talk about is a movie that I was really excited for. I wasn't quite ready for the ride that they took me on, but I loved it regardless. And it's a movie that, Kyle, I think is right up your alley, and I feel like you'd really love. Bullet Train. The new Brad Pitt movie that is out. It's kind of got like a old samurai feel to it, like samurai movie on a train, but it's not a samurai movie. It's about Brad Pitt, who is not a hitman, but like a pickup man. His job is to pick up this briefcase off of this bullet train and get it off. He's a call-in, meaning that he wasn't the one that was hired for the job, but the guy who was hired for the job called in sick. So he's the substitute, the replacement. That just kind of sets the tone right there for what kind of movie this is. some I knew of some of the people, and by some of the people I mean some of the actors that were going to show up in this movie, but there are still like a handful that I was like, what? You're in this movie? So many crazy characters in this movie. So many characters that you think are going to go on for a long time and don't. And so many characters that you think aren't going to have that big of an appearance and are there for quite a while. There's a lot of hijinks to it. Brad Pitt's character, he's not like that suave, cool guy that he is in like every movie. He's got the worst luck in the world. And it constantly becomes a problem for him to overcome throughout this entire movie, which goes up to his character arc. The standouts of this movie that kind of steal the show from Brad Pitt are the twins. I won't say who they are. I'll let you enjoy that when it happens, but it's a fun movie. I don't think it's going to be in like my top five of the year, but I had a really fun time with it. It's like a 2-hour movie, but it goes pretty fast. Kyle, like I said, this movie screams you. I feel like this is a movie that you'd be like, oh, I loved this movie. Because it's just so ridiculous and funny, but yet awesome and action-packed at the same time.
It's a movie that immediately piqued my interest when I saw the trailers. Yeah, it's such a good premise. Bad Bunny as one of the bad guys. Something you said in there makes me think maybe not the only guy. But yeah, absolutely piqued my interest. Definitely on my list to watch. That looks so good.
Like I said, there's not really anything that's coming out for the rest of August, and there's like nothing coming out in September other than a re-release of Spider-Man No Way Home. So you got plenty of time to get out to the theater and see this. I highly recommend you do.
And I haven't been to the theater since Thor Love and Thunder. So I do need to go. I need to go see that and Nope. Those are my two on my list. But Brian keeps giving you the new stuff. I'll keep coming at you with some old stuff. Why some not? Classic. Because obviously I haven't been to the theater as much as Brian has lately. But I wanted to share. I don't know if I've ever shared my favorite movie of all time on here. And I'm going to take 2 minutes to gush about it now. And it's going to shock some people, and I wouldn't even be surprised if some people have never seen this movie before. People are gonna laugh at me when they know it's my favorite movie. Benchwarmers, starring Rob Schneider. It is one of those movies that hits you with a joke every 5 seconds, and about half of them land, but when they land, they make you cry laughing. So, like, it's just so and even the ones that don't land, you're like, ah, geez, fuck this movie. Like, it's such a good, and the story itself isn't terrible either, but, like, the acting is so many comedians, mostly from Saturday Night Live, is that Happy Madison, you know, I think Adam Sandler's a producer on there. Like, it's so many actors that you'll recognize, so many comedians. It's just such a good, it's just such a good movie to watch with friends too. Like, we always watch it when we go up north. We always we'll spend a day drinking, we'll sit by the campfire, play a few games, and then we'll go in and unwind by watching Benchwarmers. Like, that's what we'll do every summer when we're up at Green Bay. It's the best movie because I can watch it over and over. I could probably quote the entire movie as I watch it right now, but I will still love every second of watching it. Listen, if you don't like terrible comedies, then you're not gonna enjoy it. I'll tell you that right now. But if you're up for that kind of humor and that kind of movie, then you're gonna absolutely love it. It is my favorite movie of all time.
It's one of those movies where they could almost convince you that Rob Schneider is cooler than he is.
Yes.
If it wouldn't have been that ridiculous comedy.
Yes. I love this kind of movie where it's Rob Schneider. Everyone knows who Rob Schneider is. He's a elite athlete with a hot wife. Like, and that is one of the, like, that in itself is one of the funniest premises, is when you do that kind of thing.
And he basically plays the straight man in that movie. Like, everybody else is ridiculous around him, and he's, like, the most serious of the movie.
Yes, because there's some actual mature growth that has happened within this dude's life. It's actually, like, a good lesson that comes out of this movie. It's insane. I cannot give this movie enough praise. Again, I could give you 20 quotes from this movie right now. Hilarious. Just an amazing movie.
The last thing that I'll share about this movie is it will forever live in my memory, because the night that I saw this movie, I went with a few friends, and the one line that stood out to us the most that we just could not stop quoting was the old man in, like, the Blockbuster Family Video that walks by and he's like, I smell
cinnamon rolls. Yes.
So there's that part of it. But when I came home from seeing that movie, I walk into the living room to see my family watching The Notebook, but they're at the point of the movie where it's the sex scene. And I walked in and I'm like fifth grade, sixth grade. And I'm like, and it's a pretty graphic sex scene, because I remember feeling very uncomfortable seeing my family just nonchalantly watching this on the TV.
Amazing.
And they didn't even hear me come in. Like, they were that invested into the movie. And, like, halfway through, I'm like, what the heck are you guys watching? Like, and that was after seeing Benchwarmers. It was a very uncomfortable moment for me, so it will forever live in my memory. Thank you, Benchwarmers. And thank you, The Notebook.
I've still never seen The Notebook. That's hilarious, because I don't think I could tell you the first time I ever saw that movie, but I've seen it about 30 times since then. And not only that, but, like, me and my older sister and my younger brother, that was the one movie. I shouldn't say the one movie. The Master of Disguise is another one of those movies. But there's a couple movies. But, like, those dumb comedies that we could watch as siblings together, those are the ones that, like, The Emperor's New Groove is another phenomenal example of that. But,
my favorite in that genre of movies, Hot Rod.
Yes, dude. And you introduced me to Hot Rod, like... Oh, such a good movie.
Such a classic.
Such a classic. I'm going to have to rewatch that one now, because that's such a classic. Oh, that's so good. Yes.
And not as good, but still good. Pop star. Never Stop, Never Stopping.
You know what? You gave me that one as well, but I never got around to that one. So I still need to see that one.
It's like the Lonely Island doing a mockumentary on a Justin Bieber type pop star.
Yep. All right.
Rise and fall of that singer.
Oh, and I haven't even... We'll end the podcast with my Friday plans after you give your last one. But I need to find a day to actually do that, because my Marvel rewatch, as people know from Falcon and Winter Soldier, the timeline after that, it's not very far after that I'm current timeline. So I'm very close to being done with my Marvel rewatch. Then I can start getting into a lot of these movies. That one's going to be top of my list.
The last thing that I want to bring up, my last recommendation of the day, is a mini docuseries on Netflix called Trainwreck Woodstock 99. I've got it in my Letterbox. I use the Letterbox app to keep track of my movies of the year that I've seen. I've got it on there because it's only three episodes that are like 45 to 50 minutes each. So it's basically a long movie. A long documentary movie, but it's about Woodstock 1999. So everybody knows Woodstock in 1969, the big hippie fest with Jimi Hendrix and all of, like, the big musicians of, like, the 60s. It was during the Vietnam War. It was supposed to be this big movement for peace where everybody could come together and have a good time and chill and have good vibes and be there for each other and all this positive stuff. 30 years later, the people who put on Woodstock 1969 were like, let's bring it back. We're in a dark time right now. This is kind of the time when, like, all of, like, the big gun shootings were happening, like Columbine and all that stuff. And they're like, and the scandal with Bill Clinton was going on. And they were like, we're in a dark time as a nation. Woodstock was a great thing for us back then when we were also in a dark time. Let's bring it back to wrap up the millennia, because, again, 99. you take these people that put that on, that try to cheapen this event, take advantage of the people that are there, and you go from like Jimi Hendrix and like the 60s music that was like this calm, peaceful stuff in Woodstock 1969, and you bring in headliners for Woodstock 99, like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Limp Bizkit, Korn. And you expect to have like this calm, the stuff that happened within that 3-day festival is so crazy that they literally, and this isn't really a spoiler, because again, this was national, this was international news at the time. They show it in the trailers, if you watch trailers on Netflix, that by the end of the festival, the attendees literally burned it to the ground. It is that insane, the things that happened during this. It's like I said, it's around a 3-hour watch. It's kind of dark. Like you're not gonna walk out of it being like, wow, I feel really great right now. But it's like super interesting to see how you can just turn a crowd, and how mob mentality can really pick up, and how you can take the spirit of something that should have been good and great and peaceful, and you mix greed into it and cheapen it out, and you get the results that happen. It's a wild ride.
It sounds super interesting. The only reason I've heard of it is because one of the opening shots, it shows, you know, like some of the crowd from it, right? One of the opening people in there just so happens to be famous WWE wrestler The Miz. And everyone was like freaking out, like, oh my god, is that actually him? And then he confirmed it. So that's the only reason I've heard about it. But I fell in love with some documentaries, but then I kind of also fell out of watching them. So this feels like a really good one to jump back into that genre.
It is so interesting, and something that I never thought that I'd ever see in my entire life, something that I didn't need to see, but I saw. You get to see the bassist of Red Hot Chili Pepper, Flea. You get to see his wiener. Because during their performance, he came out on stage and played butt naked. Because the majority of the crowd that was at that show was butt naked as well.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's insane the things that happened at that festival. And it made for a great documentary. They interviewed a lot of the journalists that were there. A lot of like the MTV hosts that were there, because it was like an MTV pay-per-view event. So a lot of those journalists were there. They got a few of the crowd people that were there that attended, like their perspective of it. The lead singer of Korn and like a couple other people, they got their perspectives on it. So it's a very interesting watch.
I'm gonna have to check it out. I'm gonna end mine with two. So I've done this before. I'm 1-for-1 on this. I'm going to best off something I haven't seen.
Okay.
Okay. Based on recommendations from people that I trust. Day Shift on Netflix, starring, why am I forgetting his name? Jamie Foxx, Vampire Hunter. Apparently, phenomenally fun movie.
Just Dave Franco and Snoop Dogg are also in that movie.
Snoop Dogg is advertised. Apparently, you don't get a lot of Snoop Dogg, but apparently, Dave Franco and Jamie Foxx, phenomenal together. I cannot wait to watch that. So definitely go out. It's top 10 on Netflix. It's number 3 in movies right now on Netflix. So definitely go and check that out. The other one, a series starring Chris Pratt on Amazon Prime called The Terminalist. I heard an interview on the Pat McAfee show today by the author/writer for this show. It's based on a book that he wrote. He's an actual Navy SEAL who then came home, wrote a book series about just it, not even about what he does, but he then fictionalized what he does, almost like he wrote a realistic series about Navy SEALs. So it's not like true stories of what he did and his story or blah blah blah. He just came home and wrote realistic stories to kind of bring us into that world. And apparently, I think a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes it's gotten. Just critically acclaimed, apparently. And Chris Pratt is, I mean, Chris Pratt is Chris Pratt. He apparently wrote this series with Chris Pratt in mind back in 2009, whenever he wrote this book. So pre-Guardians, pre-Jurassic, like, obviously Chris Pratt was still Chris Pratt in, like, Parks and Rec and that kind of stuff. But, like, I heard this interview and I was like, okay, I need to watch this show. It just sounds awesome. It feels like it really kind of brings you into that world, and it might smarten us up to some pretty crazy things that happen over in places that we don't really think about every day. So those are my two. I'm one for one on this, but my two best stuff that I haven't myself yet watched, but I will.
There's just so much that's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out right now. It feels kind of hard to keep up with. Some that I haven't seen yet that are on my list that I'm excited to see. A couple of them that I'm currently reading the books of that I want to read the book first and then watch the show. Paper Girls is also on Amazon Prime. I'm excited for that one. Sandman on Netflix is based off of one of the most critically acclaimed comic series of all time. People put it up there with, like, Watchmen as, like, some of the greatest comic book stuff ever. The writer, Neil Gaiman, is the showrunner of the show and wrote and directed most of it.
Wow.
And a lot of people that love the books say that it's a very faithful adaptation of it. A lot of people who haven't even read the books love this show. It's up on Netflix right now. It's been number one for 3 weeks in a row on Netflix. So I'm excited for that. The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges, is on Hulu right now. Wanted to check that out. House of the Dragon came out last week. Haven't gotten to watch that. I gave up on Game of Thrones because I wanted to read the books first and then watch the show. I got through book one, got through season one. Changes that were made in season one that were different from the book, I didn't like. When people said it only gets worse in the series, I was like, why even bother? Especially when people were like, season eight sucked. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm glad that I didn't. But it's got Matt Smith. He was the 11th Doctor in Doctor Who. I really want to see him. I've heard nothing but good stuff about episode one. I kind of want to check that out too.
The Gray Man on Netflix with Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans.
Apparently. I watched that.
I've heard. Did you? I've heard really good things about that.
It was okay.
Okay,
It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. It was kind of middle of the road for me. Rings of Power come out this week, and then Andor comes out within a month too. Yep. There's just so much stuff coming out. We're gonna talk about some of it when we catch up to it. But for now, we're keeping up with She-Hulk, so that's probably the one big thing we're gonna talk about a lot on here. Yep. Coming up, and I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot of other great things too.
D20's coming up in a couple weeks
too. D23, yep.
Or D23. There's probably going to be some big news that we're going to have to talk about after that.
Big bombs. Big bombs. Yeah. I'm sensing it. There you have it. There's all of the recommendations, all of the good things that we've been watching within the past month. A couple weeks that we took off from recording. A week off from giving you some new content, about a month since we've given you some recommendations. I think we more than made up for that with all the recommendations on here. If any of these interested you, write them down, check them out, and then reach out to us. Let us know what you thought of them too. If you love them, we would like to celebrate them with you. If you didn't like them, let us know. We can debate it peacefully, and then we can move on. I want to spread positivity on this channel.
I agree. So, and if you want a good app or website to track what you watch, Brian earlier mentioned Letterboxd. I used an app called Q. You can literally queue up things that you want to watch. You can rate things that you have already watched, and it has a randomizer. It also tells you what streaming platform it's on, if it's on one. So it's a very good app that I use. Like I said, Brian uses Letterboxd. There's plenty of avenues for you to track how you watch and what you watch.
Yes. So all of those things, like I said, we would like to hear your thoughts and opinions on them. We have been your Midwesterners this week. That's MIDWESTERNERT. MWNFDS. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send it to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can stream our show wherever you find and stream your podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share, and subscribe. There was another button that Kyle told me to add onto it that I've completely forgotten the 2 weeks that we haven't been recording. But do all those things because they help this channel to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you want to listen to. Like we've said multiple times throughout this episode, next week we will be back talking about She-Hulk episodes 1 and 2 and some more goodness, probably, most likely. So stay tuned for that. For your Midwestern Nerds this week, I have been Brian Stoffel.
And I've been K.O. Kyle Olson.
And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or smelling like cinnamon rolls,
keep it nerdy.